in our church. Right on the edge of a big change. Just right on the precipice, right on the, just one step more, and you're going to step into a great change in your life. You ready for that? I feel that in my spirit. I feel it prophetically to speak to you this morning that if our church is on the edge of change, that means you are on the edge of change. Aaron, the job is going to come. Long wait, buddy. You're a great man of faith. I just appreciate your character, a godly example you are, and very successful professional at that, but just need a new job, and it's going to come. It's going to come soon. Going to come soon. Others here, you're going to find some changes coming in your marriage. You're going to find some changes coming in your finances. And I just believe we're right on the edge of days of change. In fact, we're starting a new series, Transformation, Transformed, How God Changes Us. We're starting it actually next Sunday. And we will go for 7 weeks, and we'll look at seven basic areas of life and how God changes us in our spiritual life, making us spiritually healthy. We'll look at emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, vocationally. We'll look at seven basic areas of life, 7 weeks in a row. Get ready, because we're right on the edge of significant change taking place in the city church and significant change taking place in our lives. I believe this is going to be one of the greatest studies we have ever done in the history of our church. In fact, next Sunday is the opening Sunday, okay? And so that's a great time to invite your friends to come. Yeah. Great time to invite someone that maybe is unchurched or hasn't been in church for a long time, someone you're acquainted with. Invite them to come. First Sunday is a great kickoff. They're going to love it. You're going to love it. So go ahead and just plan on inviting that coworker, maybe a neighbor, family member who hasn't been to church for a while, and see what God will do when you get them here. We have a theme verse for this series. I want to share it with you this morning. It's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In fact, can we read this out loud together? Ready? Do not. Oh, man. How many of you ever heard that verse before? Yeah, it's a fairly popular verse. What God is saying there is pretty significant. He's saying he wants you to be a nonconformist. See, you were created uniquely. You were designed for special purpose. And you started off when you were formed in your mother's womb as an original. And then for some of us, though, because of patterns of the world, we become a copy instead of an original. And God is always wanting to bring us to the place of transformation. Transformation literally means change. The great example would be the caterpillar who goes through this metamorphosis. In fact, the word transformed in the original Greek language is metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis, where a caterpillar goes through a process and becomes a flying butterfly. And for some of us, we feel like a worm in our finances or in relationships or in our health. And God wants to take us through transformation so we fly away, totally different than what life is about right now. And that comes through the renewing of the mind. If we can change how we think, we can change any part of our lives. And God's going to show us how to do that, and it's going to be exciting to do. So again, the seven basic areas, 7 weeks, it's going to be powerful. The changes that you need to make are going to be changes that you can make because of God's word, because of God's power that's working in your life. What is your theology on change? The word theology is, theo is the word God. L-O-G-Y means study of. So theology means the study of God. We look at the Bible and we study and find out what God is like. So we use the term broadly. We have a theology on giving based on what God's word says, how God thinks about it. We have a theology on how to have a family based on what God thinks. God's thoughts are here. So you can develop a theology by studying what God thinks about it and becomes what you think. What is your theology on change? Or better yet, what is God's theology? What does God think? What's God's thinking about transformation? And that's what we're going to look at. In fact, we're going to look at it a little bit today. This is going to be cool. If we're believing for change and we're believing that we're going to come into our full potential, in fact, you know, we're talking about change. We're talking about your potential. We're talking about your possibilities. We're talking about your future. We're talking about the best life you can have that's ahead of you. We're talking about those kinds of changes that propel you there. So if that's where we're headed, transformation, renewing of the mind, my life's going to change. How do I prepare for that? What could we do between now and next Sunday? What can I do to prepare myself to get ready to be transformed? Anybody want to talk about this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you three really simple keys this morning to the City Church, San Diego, September 21st, 1919. Whoa, what am I doing? 2014. 1914, it was a good year. How do we prepare? What do you want us to do? Well, I'm going to give you three things. By the way, you have notes on the chair. Everybody take a copy of this. There's a little bit of fill in the blank, and you can circle some scriptures and thoughts, maybe write some things down once you get used to this, because we'll have these notes throughout the seven-week series. But I want to give these to you this morning as our theme verse there, memory verse. But number one, how do we prepare for change? How do we get ready for change? Everybody say, get ready for change. Turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye, and say, get ready for change. Okay, number one, everybody say church.
Church,
that's your blank, church. I'm asking us to make church a priority. In fact, if I was really strong, I'd say I'd like us to make church the priority for the next 7 weeks. Because when we come to church like this, and the worship atmosphere, especially in that last song, oh my gosh, I want to sing that all day long. I believe in God the Father. Oh man. I believe in the name of Jesus. I don't get that same experience when I'm by myself singing it as I do with you. It's just something powerful when we come to church. It just kind of builds my faith. And the preaching, the whole point of preaching is to build your faith. In fact, look at the scripture. In your notes there, Romans chapter 10, it says, how are they to call on one they have not believed in? And how are they to believe in one they've not heard of? How are they to hear without someone preaching to them? You see the progression. How can someone call on God if they don't know about him? How are they going to know about him if someone doesn't preach to them? You see the progression. So this whole idea of believing, how can you call on God to help you with your problem if you don't know who he is? In the next verse, verse 17. Consequently, based on this discussion of needing preaching, consequently, faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the preaching of the word of God. Something supernatural takes place when we come to church on the weekend and someone stands on this platform and begins to read the scriptures and preach to you, your faith is increased. When we take the subject of change, when we come together to church on Sundays, church is a place that builds our faith for change. So for 7 weeks, we're going to preach in the scriptures and look at what God's thoughts are on how we can change in these seven basic areas of life. And if we preach this, it's going to cause your faith to increase so you can change in that area. My sister lives in Florida. And she's gone through very dark waters in the last couple years. She's been married a number of times. My dad passed away 6-8 years ago, so she moved in our family home. My dad built 60-something years ago. Moved in with my mom to take care of her. As the years went by, about 6-8 months ago, my mom needed 24-hour care. My sister provided that care. She hadn't gone to church for over a year. She has no money, no career, no husband. She was alone. She got more and more discouraged. And then a few months ago, there was a flood, a freak flood that came through the neighborhood and destroyed the home I was raised in, that my mom and my sister were living. They had to leave the house to flee. After the flood, my mother passed away about a week later. My sister's bearing all this. She's living with a friend, with her daughter. I mean, it's just not pleasant. And she's depressed. She's racked with physical pain, emotional pain, loneliness. She can hardly talk to me on the phone. However, she called me last week. Bubbly. What's going on? She says, I went to church yesterday. First time she'd been in over a year. I said, well, what's going on? She says, I sat in church and all I did was cry the whole time. It was as if I'm in a large room and there's no one there but me and the pastor, and he's preaching just to me. Everything he said is like, has he been following me?
And all of a sudden, I start feeling all the pain and the bitterness come out of my heart. And she says, I start believing I can have a life again. God cares about me. And then to top it off, at the end of the service, the pastor gets up and he starts pointing his finger. He says, there's some of you sitting here. And this week, something's going to change in your life. This week, a door is going to open for you. If that's you, I feel compelled. You need to raise your hand right now. Six or eight people lift their hands. She said, I put my hand up. And just the presence of God came, and my faith just was soaring. And the next day, I went to Mom's house, the same house. I went into the house to do some stuff, and just by coincidence, some neighbor half a mile away, don't even know him, walks in the house, just talking to my sister. He says, by the way, my wife and I run a wedding business. Would you work for us? She said, she had a job. Well, she can't get a job. What are you talking about? She said, that's what I do for free. I love weddings. I do weddings all the time. She said, well, I want to pay you to do that. She's weeping. She says, man, God cares about me. Where'd that come from? She goes to church one time. And her whole life begins to change. I feel this for some of you. But on the top of her story, I feel some of you this morning, I said it earlier, you are on the edge of change. You're about to enter into a season you never dreamed could be possible. Your faith is going to increase beyond proportions you've ever seen it go to before. You're going to see parts of your life you had given up on come to the place where you have hope and fresh faith that God can change your life. Anybody here a taker for that? Yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand and thank him in advance. I'm telling you. Change is coming, but we got to get ready. What am I asking you to do? I'm boldly asking you to make church attendance a top priority. For the next 7 weeks, change your schedule. If you work, ask to get those weeks off. If there's sporting events, see if you can miss a couple things. Do you want change? By the way, I'm just the guy speaking. He's saying it. I hear Jesus saying this morning. I said it rather strongly. I think he would say it with a little smile. Do you want change?
Yes.
Come to my house. It's a place of faith. Because you come and you hear the preaching of the word, and it releases your faith that you can change. By the way, I encourage you weekly to take notes. Well, this has not been our culture for a long time. When I was a young Christian, that was culture. We took pages and pages of notes in church. And I'm good or bad. Don't go there. I'm just saying I feel like it's time to, maybe we need to write some things down. That's why this is here. The studies have said this. We lose about 90 to 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. We forget it. That's really not good news for pastors. I'm going to stand here and speak for 35 minutes or so, and within 72 hours, you forget almost everything I said, unless you write something down. The percentage increases dramatically when you engage your mind and your hand and visual, and you begin to write. Just doodle, write something, say, yay, God. I mean, just write down. Circle some scriptures. When we're reading, make something, highlight it. Just discipline yourself. Come back to old school. Get out a pen and just write something and take a note. What's God saying to you today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I would ask you this at the end of the service, but I'm going to ask you now. What is he saying to you? He speaks to you when all of a sudden something I'm saying, all of a sudden it becomes yours. A scripture jumps off the page and you get a wow moment. That is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you and setting up to build your faith. Remember, the whole point is coming to church, building our faith so we are ready for change. It's going to take faith to make that change. So take good notes and punch your neighbor right now and say, take some good notes. Okay, first point was church. Second point, everybody say groups. So if church gives us faith for change, then groups provide friends to help us change. We said this before. When we come to church on a weekend like this, you get inspired. I hope you do. I do. We get inspired by the preaching of the Word of God, and it makes us want to have a better life and to change and do some things differently. But by the time we get into the week, maybe the passion and the inspiration starts to get weaker.
That's why we need each other. We need each other to support one another. Hey, what do you think about that message about changing in your spiritual life? Well, I need to do this. Well, let's talk about it next week. Next week comes, the guy says, how did you do? Did you make those changes? So there's someone to help you, you know, connect the dots on what you feel God's saying to you. So we need not only come to church to get our faith increased, we need to be in the group because we have friends that help us make the changes. There's a story in the Bible about a man. One of my favorites, really. A man who was paralyzed. Physically, he could not move. He had to have someone physically pick him up to take him anywhere. He was in the culture of the Jesus days, the Jesus movement, and heard about Jesus, and no doubt probably had even been carried and heard in the crowd, had heard Jesus speak. And in this particular occasion, it was known that Jesus was in a particular house, and he wanted to get there, but he couldn't. Let me read the story to you. It says, some men came to this place where Jesus was, carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside of Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Very important phrase. So they went to the rooftop of this house, and they took off some of the tiles. And then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of the speaker, right in front of Jesus. Let's stop for a second. Guy's paralyzed. He can't get into where Jesus is. He has some goals of changed life. His goal is, I want to be healthy. I want to get off this mat. But he can't seem to get there. He has some face stirring. I want to get in there, but I can't get there. I want to grow spiritually, but I need someone to help me. I want to get stronger in my financial life, but I need someone to help me. So this guy was paralyzed. Where are you paralyzed? He was paralyzed in an area. And his friends came, and they climb on top of a place where he couldn't go by himself. They pull off the tile. I don't get this. I mean, like someone cut a hole in the ceiling right now, and they lowered someone. I wish we could have dramatized this. You'd be impressed right now if someone came and just dropped right in front of me here. I mean, you know, just who are you? Right in front of Jesus. But look at what happened. Look what Jesus, what his response was to these four friends. Seeing their faith on the rooftop. Now, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man. Seeing your group's faith on your goal, on your plan, he says to you. That's powerful. Let's just go home on that one right there. That's just, wow. Seeing their faith, he says to the man, young man, you are forgiven. Get up off your bed, you're healed. Wow. Forgiveness and healing because friends took him where he could not go himself. Come to the crowd of people. There's a crowd of people here, and your faith for change is going to grow and increase. I feel it right now. Your faith is growing and increasing. Wow, what's going to happen in the next 7 weeks? Good, keep thinking that way. Drink it in. What is going to change in my life? But along the way, you're going to need somebody. So groups, we're asking everybody to join a group, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the service today, but we're asking, would you join a group? Would you attend a group meeting 7 times? We come here 7 weeks, and I speak and I preach on Sunday, and then during the same week, you'll take the same exact subject matter, we'll give notes, and there'll be a host, and you'll be a part of a group, and they'll put a DVD in and listen to some teaching on the same subject, and then you'll discuss it and let your mouth talk about it and let faith come because you're talking, and all of a sudden, you now have this passion for change. So I'm going to be in a group. I'm going to attend 7 weeks in a row. I'm going to make it highest priority. We're going to listen and watch the DVD, and we're going to discuss things together, and it's going to bring an increased possibility for me to change. When I go to church, my faith is increased for change. When I get in a group, I find friends to help me change. Third way we want to prepare, I'm going to take a little time here. First is church. Everybody say church. Second way we're going to prepare for change is groups. Say groups.
And then third area is goals. Everybody say goals. Goals. Yeah, well, see, if church is the place where my faith is increased for change and groups is the place where I find friends to help me change, then goals are the action plan for the change. Goals. Actually setting goals. I'm believing, I'm asking that all of us would set a personal goal in each of the seven areas of life we're going to be talking about for 7 weeks. Yes, 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 it's applicable to all of us. Why? What are we talking about goals for? This is church, for heaven's sakes. Why are goals so important? Well, that's a good question. Let's take some time in the notes here and let's answer it. On the back side of your notes here, here's four reasons why we want to take some time this week, this Sunday, to prepare ourselves for the next 7 weeks where change is going to come. First reason why goals are so important is goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. I want to read the scripture to you. It's on your notes. It's really powerful. This is from Paul the Apostle. He wrote around two-thirds of the New Testament, probably one of the greatest Christians, one of the greatest followers of Jesus that's ever lived. And he writes these inspired words in regard to goals. Let's just listen to it. He says, I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I've not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. God's goal, that goal, my goal. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do. Forgetting the past, straining toward what is ahead, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to the life above. All of us who are spiritually mature should think this way. Paul is saying, it's my spiritual responsibility. As a follower of Christ, I've not yet completed all that God has called me and made me to accomplish. And I'm still believing for that goal. His goal is my goal. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more I understand what he has got for me to do in my whole life and even in this next season. So I just keep striving. I forget the past. If I didn't do it perfect, if I made a mistake, if I had some setbacks, I forget the past and I'm just going for the goal. I'm going for the goal. And if you're mature as a Christian, you'll think the same way. Spiritual responsibility. Goals are so powerful. We can go through life by default or by design. We can go through life with goals or just by reacting to problems and by coasting or drifting. You can drift down the river and it's kind of fun, but it won't get you necessarily where you want to go. You can flow with the current of the world systems around you and let tyranny and pressure and schedules push you in a direction, or you can say, no, my spiritual responsibility is to hit the target, to hit the bullseye, to go where God called me to go, to hit what God called me to hit. I'm going to shape my destiny. I'm not a drifter. I'm a goal person. I have a responsibility to make this happen in my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Another reason why we have goals, goals release our faith. Release our faith. Jesus said it this way, according to your faith, let it be to you. Man, that's a powerful statement. Your miracle, you determine the level of your success. According to your faith, it'll happen. According to what you believe, let it take place. Goals release your faith. What you're really saying there is you're saying, I believe that God wants me to accomplish X, Y, Z. You fill in the blank. You're prayerful, you're pressing in, you're coming to church, you're going to the group, you're talking to your friends or your spouse, and you're dealing with it. Man, what's God saying in this area? And then you conclude it, and you write out, I believe God is saying he wants me to accomplish, and you fill in the blank. It releases your faith. You have a tangible, written goal that says, this is where I believe God wants me to go. I think it's safe to say that God wants you to dream bigger than you're already dreaming.
That's good, man. That's good.
Yes, he does. Want you to dream bigger? Let your dream be based on how big God is. What is your dream for your life? What is your goal? And don't use the fallback. I don't have enough education. Or I'm too short. Or I weigh too much. Or I'm not pretty enough. Or I'm a man. Or I'm a woman. Or I'm too old. Or I'm too young. Whatever. And we let the limitation factor. Some of you are going to embrace what I'm saying now. You need to catch this right now for the next 7 weeks. You need to catch this. You have an enemy in heaven. Remember, our theme verse is, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you cannot displace from your mind the negativity about who you are, you'll never see transformation. So yeah. The negativity must be washed out of your mind. We need to believe what God's word says. We want a theology unchanged. God thinks bigger than you and I do. We need to take the risk and dream bigger. Your dream, I think it's pretty safe to say your dream's too small. No, we're not trying to be out there a dreamer, just grab. I want to be the president next week. Not going to happen. What is your dream? What's God put in your heart? What do you see? What do you have faith for? And by the way, the difference between a dream you have and a goal you come up with is a deadline. The goal and the dream, they work together. But a goal puts steps in place to move towards the dream. Some of us are dreamers, but it's difficult for us to have goals. Well, we're going to work on this together. We're going to set some goals in the 7 basic areas of life, and it's going to release our faith to believe that we can see change. As your faith, so be it unto you. Touch your neighbor and say, increase your faith. Touch the other neighbor and say, dream big. Okay, the third point, why goals are so important. First, because it's our spiritual responsibility. Second, because it releases our faith. Third, because goals keep us focused. Everybody stay focused. Look at what Paul says. This is beautiful. 1 Corinthians 9:26. So I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. So I'm a goal-driven person. Because, see, a goal will keep you focused because there's so many time wasters in life. There's so many options and so many things to do, so many places to go, so many things I can enjoy. Goals will help me focus my time, my energy, and my resources so I'm trucking forward, so I'm actually moving into the place of the dreams that God has for my life. Helps us to be focused. Helps us to be focused. Tammy and I love to ride bicycles. Start off with beach cruisers, and then we graduated. Now we're big-time mountain bikers. And we ride actually quite a bit. We put 500 miles on our bikes this summer, which is a big deal for us, big milestone. And we've noticed something. We like to have a goal where we're going on each ride. We were on vacation this summer. We were in Sacramento. We were actually staying with her mom in Fair Oaks, California. And we looked online and found this really beautiful bike trail that goes from Fair Oaks all the way to downtown Sacramento, about 27 miles. And we thought, let's go. But we thought, well, we won't make the whole way. We got so excited we didn't plan. We didn't even talk. We just got on the bike and took off. We got on the trail. We're riding. We go about an hour and about an hour and a half, tons of people everywhere and going through streets and all this stuff. And it's kind of fun. And then we stop and look at each other and says, What do you think? We're kind of like, this isn't fun. And we realized why. We had never discussed where we were going. We didn't have a goal. We had no plan. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves frustrated on the journey because we're just kind of wandering down this trail. And all of a sudden, what's the point? Whereas other times, we've just discovered a new trail over in Lake Hodges, and it goes from Rancho Bernardo Park all the way to the dam on Del Dios Highway. And so I'm passionate. I see this thing. I think, I want to take that. And we're going. She said, let's go. And it's a pretty rugged trail. You'd be proud of Tammy. She's a tough little lady there. And so we're going, and we're going. That's our goal. We rode for about 2 hours, and we realized our time was up. We had to leave. Even though we didn't reach the goal, we left something on the table to go back to. It was so fulfilling because we knew where we were going. Take that into your life. Now, of course, you can have lazy river days and just let it go where it goes. But life needs to be focused at some point. And the tangibility
of focused goals. What do you want your marriage to look like? Talk about it. Discuss it so there's a focus. What do you want your finances to look like? Tammy and I are thinking about the latter years. So we're making some strategic plans, and we have a goal in place. So it's focus on the finances. It's focused on the relationships. So God's saying, goal will keep you focused. Everybody say focus. One more. So why goal is so important? This is looking at the Bible. Goals will keep us going. Keep us going. Look at this scripture. Job chapter 6. I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. When you go through hell, you're going through a hell experience. The key is keep going. Go through it. Don't camp. Don't let it define you. Don't put up a mailbox and say, this is my address. I live in hell. It's on earth, but it's hell in my marriage. It's hell in my finances. It's hell in my hell. Don't let that define you. And a goal will help you to keep going, to go through the difficulty. Some of you need some hope. You're in a difficult time. You've lost hope and you're discouraged. Good news. Set some new goals that are God-focused goals that will get you through the difficulty. Man, I can say this is my testimony. We moved here in 1998 to start this church with me and Tammy and three boys, and that's it. Promise of a salary and $50,000 they gave us in an offering from our home church. We didn't know one person in this room. And it was a hope, and it was a path, it was a goal, and God gave us a vision of seeing thousands of people. Gave us a vision of seeing buildings built. And in the last number of years, man, I've hit some walls. I have what most pastors have on Monday, PMS, post-ministry syndrome. In fact, I've heard similar statements a lot lately from pastors speaking at different conferences I've gone to. We all laugh about it, but it's real. You know, you just get so attacked on Monday. Man, that was hard work and this problem, that problem. And I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if I should do this anymore. Maybe someone better, smarter than me should do this and really get the church where it needs to go and just get all attacked and you get frustrated. And then for me, a couple, 3 years ago, I hit this wall where I got emotionally fatigued, physically fatigued. I was discouraged. I was fighting depression. I was just kind of pushing through. What kept me going? I'll tell you what kept me going is God gave me a goal in 1998 and it had not yet been fulfilled. I'm not done yet. And I still see thousands of people, and I still see a building, and I still see a large group of leaders, and I still see influence that we will hand off to the next generation, and it will take place. We're going to keep moving. Goals keep you moving forward. We need to have them. Got to have them. And with God's help, we're going to do that. Now, what should goals look like? Goals should be God-focused. Everybody say God-focused. God-focused. And that's the last part of your notes. Are you seeing it there? Goals must be God-focused. There's 3 points here just to kind of bring some clarity. I'll give you the first one. I need God's Spirit to empower me. This is not about Jerry McKinney's willpower to finish. This is about God's supernatural power. I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. This is not about some of the self-help gurus that are great in their own way, but getting up, rah, 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 do this, see the picture, go for it and have it. This is God saying, I want to help you establish goals and dreams I have that I had for you when you were formed in your mother's womb. You're an original. You're not a copy. I want to help you to renew your mind and be changed so you can become what I have had in mind all along. I want to help you have goals, have plans to get there. By the way, I'll give you my Spirit to empower you. And I love this scripture in Zechariah. You will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God, who's all powerful. The Holy Spirit. This is not you and I sitting alone with God praying about how I can make it happen or getting with a group of people and brainstorming. Can you guys give me some ideas on how I can be popular and successful? None of those components might be a part, but the bigger piece is at the end of the day, Holy Spirit, breathe on my life. Holy Spirit, empower me to see what you want me to be and help me to initiate the change so I can be the best Jerry McKinney that you had in mind. Power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody a taker on that one? Another thing, second thing we need if we want to have God-focused goals that please Him. First, I want to please Him because I'm doing this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I need God's word to guide me. God had called Moses to deliver his people. Moses dies and he raises up a new leader named Joshua. Joshua knew what the goal was. The goal was to take the people of Israel across the Jordan River to conquer Jericho and then take the entire promised land. God gives him a key. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law on your lips. Recite it by day and by night, that you may carefully follow all that is written in it. Then you will successfully attain your goal. For us as believers, as followers of Christ, our goals are word-focused. By the way, the more Bible you read, the more likely you are to change. This whole be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that means read and hear about what God says, and it will change you. This word will literally change your life. So as we move forward in these seven basic areas of life, we're going to be reading scriptures, looking at the Bible, and we're saying, I need God's word to guide me towards the change. I need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I need the word of God. And the third part is big. We're going to close on this today. The third thing I need to make sure it's a God-focused change, I need God's spirit. I need God's word. I need God's people to support me. I need God's people to support me. A crowd cannot support you. A group can. A crowd can help encourage you, increase your faith. This is great. You can't live without church. We need church. We need the crowd. But a crowd can't support you in your personal needs. We need people. We need the group. Ecclesiastes 4, by yourself, you're unprotected. But with a friend, you can face the worst. And a group of three is even better, because a rope braided with three strands is not easily snapped. A group of three is better. What's a group of three? It's a small group. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 18, verse 20. He says, where two or three are gathered together, two or three, in my name, I'm there. You talk about the potential for change when you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, the author of your life, the author of change itself. There's a dynamic that happens in the small group context, in someone's home, at someone's office, at a Starbucks. You're listening to a DVD or watching it, and you're discussing together, and you're talking about your life. The chemistry of that has incredible power to just push you, thrust you forward to the place of change that you want to go to. This is really exciting today. I'm actually really excited. This is really exciting because we're going to close the service, and if you have not yet joined a group, you can do it today. Out in the front lot, as you're leaving, there'll be tents that are clearly identified with the different seasons of life. If you're a young adult, or if you're married or adult, whatever different seasons are, go there. There'll be people there you can meet. There's some different host of groups. You can talk to them. You can actually join a group today, and there's actually coffee and donuts to help make it easy. And so that as we end the service today, that's how we're going to end, in this excitement. See, here's the thing. See, these next seven weeks are going to be a lot of fun. But they're also going to be challenging and powerful. Because I'm saying to you with my eyes open, prophesying to you individually, this is the time for change in your life. This is the time. This is the season. This is the moment today to engage and get ready. This is where we're all saying together, I'm going to be in church for 7 weeks. I'm going to join a group. I'm going to participate. I'm going to discuss. I'm going to talk. And I'm going to write down 7 goals in those 7 specific areas. I'm in the team. I'm having change. My church is changing. This is going to happen in our lives.